Not because of me, but because of God's people, the world over is making a difference. And tonight, there at the church at Mount Olive where I preach, I'm headed back. And our hope is tonight, for the first time in 30 years, we're going to have deacons. We've just appointed elders, and we're about to have deacons. And so we thank God for that. 2 weeks ago, we baptized a young man, and his wife came, and they assembled with the congregation. We've got our first VBS coming up in June. They've done in nearly 25 years, and people are excited and growing, not because of me, but to God be the glory, and because of people like you, we're able to make this work happen. And so I want you to know that while God is doing great things in Chelsea, just north of you in Jefferson County, He's doing some great things. And His kingdom is expanding, and people are learning, and studies are happening, and the kingdom is on the move. And so we're so thankful to all of you for the blessings that you provide and make possible. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Last time I was here, I hope your man in the back running the sound, he remembers what I preached. When I gave him the slide this morning, he said, this is avoiding spiritual shipwreck. And then he said, but wasn't last time you were here you spoke about surviving a drowning faith? I want to put our faith in the ocean real bad here, if you'll remember that. And this is intentional. Now, I know that we've talked about surviving a drowning faith. Jesus, I believe there in the Gospel of Mark, as we talked about, was with the disciples and talking about them surviving when their faith felt that it was drowning. Well, this morning, we're not going to talk about a drowning faith. We're going to talk about a shipwrecked faith. During this time, particularly in the apostolic era and in Jesus' day, boats were a way and means of travel. That's how they got around. They didn't have airplanes. There wasn't Delta and American Airlines. There wasn't any airport, so they got on the ship at the port and took their way by sea. And so we see a lot of metaphors to the ocean. We see a lot of metaphors written to ships. And certainly, the Apostle Paul writing this would be a man who would, not just now, but in the future, be acquainted with shipwreck. Acts chapter 27. Go read about his shipwreck and finding himself on the island of Melita there. But in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, beginning in verse 18, let's read what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. He says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare." Now watch verse 19. He says this, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck." Notice verse number 20. We are introduced to two men here who we don't really know a whole lot about, except that they were a bit troublesome in the ministry of Paul. Verse number 20, "Of whom is first Hymenaeus and secondly Alexander, whom I have," watch what Paul has done with these two men, "whom I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme." On April the 10th, 1912, the RMS Titanic left her berth at the harbor in Southampton, England, and this would have been the maiden voyage for this 882-foot-long ocean liner that had been built as unsinkable and even deemed as the Creator itself. God Himself could not sink this very ship. She carried with her 2,228 passengers and a crew. Most of the passengers had paid thousands of dollars to sail on this luxurious liner across the Atlantic Ocean. 4 days into the voyage, on April the 14th, 1912, severe ice warnings were received for the area through which the Titanic would be sailing. These warnings were ignored, and the Titanic maintained her course for New York Harbor, and 11:40 p.m. on April the 14th, this Titanic struck an iceberg on the starboard side of her bow. She began to take on water at an alarming rate, and within 3 hours, the Titanic and 1,523 of her passengers were at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. Only 705 people of the original 2,228 persons survived that great shipwreck. And since 1912, people have tried to figure out what happened. What went wrong? Why did they sink? What was the issue to bring about the demise of a ship that was called unsinkable. Most people would agree that this tragedy was probably a mixture of a lot of things that brought about this kind of sinking. Negligence, apathy, greed, pride, incompetence. In other words, all the things that may have caused the sinking of the Titanic are things that could take our own lives and bring us to the very bottom of the seas that we sail. But since those steps were taken by no one to ensure safety, this ship sunk in the Atlantic Ocean. Of course, listen, the Titanic is just one of many famous shipwrecks that we could study this morning. We could talk about the Andrea Doria, the Lusitania, the Edmund Fitzgerald, all kind of great tragedies that have took place in shipwrecks. All of these should have not happened, but there is no doubt that every shipwreck that takes place leaves behind an opportunity to study why it happened and what happened to make this possible. In fact, in the Word of God this morning, in the early church, we read of two men whose name are Hymenaeus and Alexander, who have, Paul said, made a shipwreck of the faith, who have run the faith aground. And we find this morning that as we are in this room, the truth is that most of us here today will never be in a shipwreck. Now, my chances of being in a shipwreck are very slim because my chances of being in a ship are very slim. I don't go to the ocean. I don't go in the ocean. I don't care to look at the ocean. I don't like the sand. I don't like the beach. If you want to take me on a trip, go north. I want to go to the mountains. I want to go somewhere beautiful. I don't like the beach, okay? I don't mean to offend you, but that's just me, all right? Look, most of us in this room may not ever be involved in a shipwreck at sea. You may never find yourself lowering a lifeboat to the water so that you can get away from a ship that's about to break in half. You may never find yourself being rescued by the Coast Guard because of a ship that has run aground or hit an iceberg in the middle of the night. But friend, may I say to you for a moment that it is possible that everyone in here could face a spiritual shipwreck if you are not careful and taking heed from the Word of God and what it says concerning our life. Your life, listen to me, does not have to end up bad from a spiritual perspective. Your life doesn't have to end up in a mess where they say, well, they once served the Lord, they used to serve the Lord, they used to be faithful. They once could be depended on to be in the worship services. They once could be found laboring for the Lord. They once could be found doing God's work. No, friend, it doesn't have to be a once they used to do this, but friend, it can be a present day. The Word of God declares that those that have remained faithful unto death will receive a crown of life. I want to ask you a question. Are you staying the course? Are you remaining faithful? As one older fella told me, he said, are you sticking with the stuff? Most of you know that prior to my conversion, I preached full-time in the Baptist church. I don't know if you can tell by my style of preaching, but my Baptist bleeds through every now and then, okay? And I will never forget, as I was ordained as a Baptist minister, preacher said something to me, an older fella, many, many years my elder. He said some startling words to me that I'll never forget to this day that are burned in my mind. And some of you will think these words are harsh, but I understand why he said them. Now, he looked at me and he said, son, I want to tell you something. If you ever go off the rails and bring shame through sin willfully to the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray God would take you on home out of here. I thought, whoa. Later on, he explained, he said, the reason I said something like that is because it would be better that you not even be carrying on if you were to bring shame, except that you repent and turn from it. Now, those are old-time words that probably don't get said a lot today. But he said, I'd rather you, before you had an opportunity to spurn the gospel, that you go be with the Lord. Before you had that opportunity, it'd be better for you just to be with Him than to be here and bring shame upon the work of the church, the kingdom of God, and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we may not understand that sometimes, but friend, I want to say to you that when we're dealing with our lives and our Christian character and the way that we live, we're talking about the glory of God, the eternity of Christ Jesus. We're talking about our lives and eternal matters. Listen, it may not matter where you get your next dollar. It may not matter your next promotion at work. But friend, what will stand is the eternity and the kingdom of God and how we live in light and reference to that. And here the Apostle Paul is writing to us and says, some have made a shipwreck of the faith. But listen to me this morning. If you are here and you're sitting in this assembly and you say, I've made a shipwreck of the faith. I've made a mess of the faith. I've messed it up. I've sinned. I've fallen by the wayside. I've got good for you. You're in a good place today. You can make things right as they should be. You can ask a holy and just God to forgive you and restore you and bring you back to where you should be, to draw you close. And if we'll draw nigh unto Him, the Word of God declares that He'll draw nigh unto us. Let me say this. Maybe this morning you feel like God is a million miles away. I want to tell you who's moved. It isn't Him. I want to tell you who's gotten away. It isn't Him. And so I want to give you a few thoughts this morning as we open the Word of God and look at this. That's by way of introduction. I've only got a few points, 25 or 30, and I'll get through this. So y'all bear with me. I'll get you out of here before 3:30. First of all, I want you to notice the reality of spiritual shipwrecks. The reality of spiritual shipwrecks. As I've already mentioned to you in our text, Paul tells us of two men who have shipwrecked. And we don't know a lot about these men. We don't know very much what the text tells us, but we do know that they became a problem for Paul and the early church. In 2 Timothy, the Word of God in chapter number 2 in verse 17, the Bible said that Alexander caused much injury for the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, the Word of God declaring, but avoid worldly chatter and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk spread like gangrene, or the King James. It talks like us country folk, canker. And he said that it spreads like gangrene or canker. And among them, look what he says, are Hymenaeus and Philetus. We see Hymenaeus' name come up again. No doubt everyone in this room, listen, could think of someone who once walked with the Lord. Someone who you knew was faithful and strong in the faith, and today they're nowhere to be found. They're walking in the light of this world. I think of Demas, one of Paul's closest companions apparently, and yet when Paul was in prison writing to Timothy, he said, Demas hath forsaken me for this present world. Let me say this, the reality of spiritual shipwrecks. What you need to remember this morning is that shipwrecks don't just happen to the other guy. They don't just happen to the person behind you, to the left, in front of you. I've heard of preachers today who are falling. I'm going to tell you like I used to tell them where I come from. Will y'all mind if I preach a minute? I'll just loosen up my coat and preach a minute. I used to hear of preachers who might have fallen by the wayside in sin. Whatever sin you want to say that may be, adultery, lust, greed, whatever, fornication, whatever the case. And I would think, what a shame. What a shame. But you know what I figured out? I better watch out because it could be me. You better watch yourself because it could be you. Don't ever walk around in pride and say, oh, what a shame. Friend, you know when we should be looking down on someone is picking them up. We need to recognize the reality of spiritual shipwrecks. We know that Alexander the coppersmith caused much harm for Paul and his work. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, but the Lord will repay him according to his works. Friend, don't ever get the idea that you're above spiritual shipwreck. Guard your home, guard your family, guard your eyes, guard your hands and your feet, guard your children. Because Satan is cunning and deceiving. Satan is cunning and deceiving. Listen to me this morning. I think of men like David who fell by the wayside and experienced a great fall. What caused David's fall? Why? Why did he fall? I mean, look, here was David taking a late night walk, maybe insomnia, and he glanced over one night and saw Bathsheba bathing. One look. One look, and before you know it, we've got a dead child, a child out of wedlock. Uriah the Hittite's dead, and David is repenting of it all and doesn't know which way to turn. Why? One look. It started with a look. The Word of God declares that sin begins with lust, and lust brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Romans 3 and 23, the wages of sin is death, dear friend. All have fallen and come short of the glory of God this morning. I want to ask you, do you think you're above sin? You're not. You're not above the evil. When you're not above the tempter, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Don't scoff at the danger of becoming shipwrecked, because it can happen to anyone. The reality of spiritual shipwrecks. Hey, let me say this to you. There's a lot of I enjoy coming to preach here because there's a lot of it's a mixed congregation. People my age, if you're in here, I'm 20. I'll be 27 next month. I'm a baby. Some of you may be a little bit older than me, just a little bit. You don't have it all figured out, and I don't have it all figured out yet, and don't think that we do. And let me say this to you, if you're in here and you've got young children and your parents, have them in the house of God. Bring them to worship. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Because I promise you, he's a liar and he has been from the beginning. Amen. And he'll come to you. Hey, stay at home. It's easier to stay at the house this morning. Don't worry about fighting them kids and getting... Don't worry about wrestling with them all through service. Don't be worried about, hey, it's more trouble than it's worth. No, it'll be worth it all, because someday after a while in teaching the gospel to these young ones, they'll come forward one Sunday morning when you're least expecting it, and they'll be added to the kingdom of God, and you will have wondered, why was I doing all that I did? Because it's worth it. Listen, spiritual shipwrecks can happen to anyone, and the enemy will try to lie to you and keep you back from doing what you ought to do. Don't listen to it. Hey, don't lay out on Wednesday nights. I know y'all said y'all didn't come this morning to hear this kind of preaching. Don't you do it. The devil would love to. He'd love to have you sitting at home on Wednesday night when God's people are getting together. Well, yeah. Don't you do it. Have them here. You know what they need to see? They need to see consistency. They need to see and be able to say about you that they stayed the course, they finished the race, they fought the fight. The shipwreck was not something that happened to them. Watch the reality for shipwrecks that'll happen to you. I've seen families come before with broken pieces and say, what do I do? I've seen parents come and say, I don't know why my child has left the faith and walked away. But somewhere when we thumb back, we see that inconsistency began to make its way into the family. And I wonder, what kind of pattern are you setting for them? The reality of spiritual shipwrecks. Let me give you a second one. The reason for spiritual shipwrecks. The reason. Paul tells us the reason these two men suffered shipwreck was because the Word of God said that they put away, verse 19, concerning faith. They put away the faith. This phrase literally means to thrust out or to push it away. It refers to an intentional turning from truth into error. In the case of Hymenaeus, it would appear that he rejected the true teaching of the faith and embraced false doctrine. For Alexander, it seems, reading from the text, and I don't know, we don't know much more about these two men, that this man developed some kind of haughty and mean spirit and worked contrary to the work of the Lord taking place. But either way, both of them wound up in error and away from truth. Let me give you a little nugget. You write this down. The departure from truth never starts big. The departure from truth always starts small. The same process takes place within people in the church for whatever reason. Some people who belong to the Lord and profess faith in Jesus Christ seem to find themselves backing out. And let me say that you'll find yourself in hot water if you're not careful. It happens over time. I told our congregation at Mount Olive this. You won't believe this, and that's okay. I'm not asking you to. I got pictures to believe it. But I used to only weigh about 170 pounds. Let me tell you what happened to me. I'm going to tell you right now what got me. I started a lawn care business, and I was working out hard. I was running every day 2 years ago. I mean, I was running a few miles a day. I was working out, lifting weights, going to the gym. I was eating healthy. I was taking supplements. I mean, I had it all going on. I was ready for the Olympics, so I thought. The Olympics weren't ready for me. And I started cutting grass, and I started a lawn care business one summer, and I was working every day. I was pouring sweat. I was cutting grass. I was building driveway. I was doing all these things. And one afternoon, my dad called me, and he said, hey, you want to go get some supper with us tonight? And I knew that what he wanted to feed me was out of my diet. It was out of my regimen. And it was tempting. You know what I did? I said, well, I've worked hard all day. I've sweated real hard. I'll go eat it. And I went and ate it. And the next day, I went and worked. And I said, you know what? I'm sweating real good. I'm not going to the gym today. 3 years later, I hadn't been back. That ain't right. That ain't good. I need to go. Compromise got me there. Missing a little here, missing a little there. I'll have a little here. Friend, I want you to know that it takes some discipline. It takes some dedication. It takes some desire. The reason for spiritual shipwrecks is a lot of people have compromised. The Apostle Paul said that Alexander and Hymenaeus have put away the faith. They have thrust themselves from truth, and they had find themselves in sin. At other times, loss of momentum in a ship can cause it to flounder. It can cause the sails to be torn. Listen to me. This would be a great time for you and I to look into our lives and take note. What are you tolerating in your life that just a little bit you're tolerating, but a little leaveneth the whole lump? It's the little things they sneak in. It's the little sin that we allow to go without taking care of. It's the little sin. Where have you slacked up? What have you ceased to do that you once did? One man said, what is the definition of backsliding? I say, if you are not as close to the Lord as the day you became a Christian, you've backslid. You've taken a step back. Is that you? The reason for spiritual shipwrecks, listen, because we put away the faith. In Psalm chapter 1, 1 and 3, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, the psalmist said. Hey, you know what else will cause you to shipwreck? The people you allow in your ship. Who are you allowing in your ship? Who are you allowing to have their place in your life? You will become that which you constantly surround yourself with. Don't ever forget that. You surround yourself with those that prefer sin, those that prefer disobedience, then friend, that's where you'll find yourself. What have you ceased to do? Let me give you this point right here. The results of spiritual shipwreck. The results. I told you the reality. I told you the reasons. Now let me give you the results. These two men, the Word of God says this, that Paul in verse 20, he said, I have delivered them unto Satan. This was the most extreme punishment available for people who went to church and were members of the body of Christ who wandered from the Lord. In effect, they had been put out so that they may protect the flock of the church so that it may not cause sin to enter in. In 1 Corinthians 5:5, Paul told the church at Corinth to do this with a member that was guilty there of having his father's wife. Put him out. Deliver him to Satan. Why? For the saving of his soul. Sometimes this is necessary, but this is a result. And I want to say to you that this is a sad result. I hope that those words are not, they are small. I'm sorry, y'all. I made this PowerPoint over a year ago, and I wasn't real good at it then, so I hope you got your glasses. The results. These two men were delivered to Satan and turned over to him. Listen, everyone needs to understand this in here. No one sins in a vacuum. Galatians chapter 6, and what I mean by that is your sins affect people around you. Galatians chapter 6 and 9, Paul said, be not deceived. God is not fool. God is not mocked. That that a man sows will he also reap. I tell you, if you're planting corn today, you better be ready to reap corn tomorrow. If you're planting trouble today, be ready to reap trouble tomorrow. The results of spiritual shipwreck. Parents, you think your sin affects nobody but yourself? What about your children? It'll affect them. I've watched families be torn apart because of sin. Moms and dads ripped apart because of sin. Well, it doesn't affect anybody but us. We're adults. No. It affects your children. You know, it'll affect your grandchildren. It'll affect your church family around you. Don't ever think you sin in a vacuum and it doesn't hurt or touch anybody else. Sin is painful. And when it comes, it's much like a cancer that starts small. And except you cut it out, and you cut it out quick, friend, it'll invade your life as an invasive species and drown you and kill you. And before you know it, your ship will be on the rocky rocks of the shore without any way to set sail again except repentance and coming to the Lord Jesus. Paul said that these were the results of spiritual shipwreck. These two men were delivered unto Satan. You'll reap what you sow. Now I want to ask you this. What about your Christian reputation and your influence to other people? What do they see in you? It takes one sin. It takes one time. It takes one slip. But look, listen. If you're a Christian, I hate to rain on your parade this morning, but the world is wanting you to slip up. I'm telling you they are. They're watching you. Because the world has been fed a version of Christianity that leads them to believe, here's what they say, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Well, that's okay. We're all struggling. But the world wants you to mess up. They're waiting on you to mess up. And friend, if we feed them and give them something to eat off of, then we're going to make things worse. Stand strong. Fight the faith. Don't cause the ship to be run ashore. Listen, is your present condition really worth all that it's costing you? If you're in sin today, listen, what would it take to be restored? Why won't you? If you're away from God, if you've never become a Christian, become one this very hour, today, right now. Don't wait. Don't sit there and say, I'll do it tomorrow. Don't say, I'll put it off till next week. I'll wait till I can get more family here. Look, that's all great. But friend, there is no time to wait. You come and come now, the prophet Isaiah said, and let us reason together. The results of spiritual shipwreck. Listen, it'll cost you family. It'll cost you friends. It'll cost you everything. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you're willing to pay. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, but I keep my body under subjection, or bring it into subjection, lest that by any means that I myself should be a castaway when I've preached to others. Paul said, I do all these things. I live this way. I keep myself in subjection. I live in accordance to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that I am never found a castaway when I preach the gospel to others. The results of spiritual shipwreck. Now, let me give you this quickly. This is my last point. And it's only got 5 subpoints. Let me give you the remedy for spiritual shipwrecks. Look in verse 18. Look in verse 18 what Paul said. Paul's telling Timothy, here's how you can avoid spiritual shipwrecks. Listen, I'm the captain, and I'm telling you there are icebergs out there that you're going to have to navigate around, Timothy, or else they're going to rip your hull open and you're going to take on water. First of all, it lies in following. Watch verse 18. Paul said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee. Paul tells Timothy that he's giving him a charge. This is military words. He is issuing a command as a superior to Timothy, his subordinates. In other words, he's saying you have a responsibility to obey what I am telling you and to carry out the orders. The same is true as a Christian today. Are you living by the Word of God? Are you listening to the orders and being a good soldier in Christ Jesus, not being entangled with the warfares of this world? The first step in walking with God is that we should follow Him. Walking after Him, desiring to come after Him in all things. Are you following? Let me give you a second one quickly. It lies in fulfilling. Paul reminds Timothy in verse 18 of the prophecies that had already been issued concerning his life. Prophecies, no doubt, of his success and blessing. And I think of Romans 8 and 38, how that all things work together for the good of us. Listen, there are things that have already been said about you as a Christian, that you should walk in the light. Ephesians 2 and 10, you are created in Christ Jesus unto that forward motion, good works. Not living in sin, not living how you want to live. Well, I want to do it my way. No, friend, we live in accordance, subjection to the Word of God. Paul said, Timothy, remember the prophecies that were given of you. If you want to avoid spiritual shipwreck, then follow them. Let me give you this one. It lies in fighting. Look what he says in verse 18. That went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Timothy's reminded that he's not enlisted in the Lord's army to play on the playground. You ever sing that song as a child? I'm in the Lord's army. I may never fight in the cavalry or shoot the artillery. Something like that. I don't remember it very well. I'm in the Lord's army. I've been enlisted. If you've signed up, you're enlisted. Are you fighting? Some folks are convinced that they were saved to sit. I call them the frozen chosen. I mean, really, really. I did my part. Listen to me. This ain't the hard part. No. Don't get confused. This is the easy part. I mean, I could spend all day sitting in here with God's people and Christians singing and remembering His death and hearing sermon after sermon. That's easy. I love that. Hey, that's where I'm fed and I grow and enjoy it. You want to talk about hard? Walk out those doors and watch the warfare that is there to entangle you. The sin, the things that we have to avoid, the traps, the snares of Satan, the devil, those that would tempt us to fall. And friend, yet you and I are charged to keep our eyes fixed toward heaven. And as the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 12 said, let us look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him despised the cross and endured the shame. Run the race. Get up and run. I don't like to run any more than anybody. I don't know if I can run to the road and back out there. But if you ain't running, crawl. If you ain't crawling, keep moving. Drag your feet. go forward. It lies in fighting. We are to recognize the nature of the battle we fight. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul said that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Look, my fight ain't with you this morning. Now, let me tell you, sometimes I think my fight's with church folks. You probably have too. We all have them. Your fight ain't with the person on the other side of this room. Your fight's with the enemy. An evil one. We're in this together. We're fighting together from the youngest to the oldest. I need you and you need me. 1 Corinthians 12. We're part of the body of Christ. It lies in fighting. Let me give you this one. It lies in faith. Look what Paul said to him. Holding faith. Timothy is charged to hold the faith. This means to lay hold of a thing or own it or possess it for one's self. Paul is telling Timothy, you stand for the truth. Christian, listen to me. You stand for the truth. I don't care if the world's on fire. You stand. Having done all, stand. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Exodus chapter 14. Stand still. Stand. Plant your feet and grow where you're planted. And stand when you can't do nothing else. Paul said it lies in faith. Hold the faith. And the same mandate has occurred to you and I. We are to hold the faith. Let me give you another one real quick. Uh-oh. This is a word us Christians try to avoid. Quick, we can. And I'll spend just 5 more minutes right here. This is it. I'm done. Lies in faithfulness. Let me say that word again. Faithfulness. Being faithful. Paul reminds Timothy of the value of a good conscience. He said here in verse number 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away what? Faith and a good conscience, have made a shipwreck. Paul reminds Timothy that we are not to go against our conscience, but we are to saturate our conscience with the Word of God and follow in the Word of God. You know, some people today don't believe that they are to listen to the Word of God. There are bumper stickers out there that say, if it feels good, do it. That's a lie. That's the enemy. Paul said that if we reject this conscience, then we make a shipwreck of the faith. He says here that some have put away this concerning the faith. Simply put, listen to me. It is important that this lie has been told to our generation today. Follow your heart. Let me tell you something, friend. You better be careful. The prophet Jeremiah said the heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? And I'm telling you that if I granted my heart everything it thought it wanted, I wouldn't be here preaching today. You can follow your heart. How? When Psalm 119, you have hidden the Word of God in your heart that you may not sin against God. It lies in faithfulness, being faithful. Are you faithful? Are you faithful to the Lord? God has a spiritual framework here for you and I. Well, what are you going to do? Have you made a shipwreck of the faith? I want to give you this. The more you sin, the more you willfully sin and enjoy it, the easier it becomes to sin. The Apostle Paul referred to it as searing our conscience with a hot iron. My dad called me the other day and he said he's fixing to learn to play the guitar. I shouldn't laugh at his aspirations, but my father can barely play the radio. I don't know what he's... So he bought a guitar. And he said, I have a problem though. The more that I play, whatever he's doing. I don't think he's playing it, but whatever he's doing. He said, the more that I do of it, the more my fingers hurt. I said, Dad, here's what I do. And I grew up with music. I love music. I love to play instruments. I enjoy them. I love to read music. I said, here's what I understand as far as playing the guitar, what you need to do. I don't think my dad's played since I gave him this advice. I said, you need to turn the iron on that you iron your clothes with and lick your fingers. And seriously, they encourage you to touch it quickly like that a few times. And it will cause your fingertips to become hardened and calloused from the burns. Of course, my father said, no thanks, I'm going to sell this thing. And the more you play, the less it hurts. How many Christians have quickly been sticking their fingers to the hot iron of sin? And eventually they don't feel the burn of sin anymore. Because they're so used to it. Paul said you need to remain faithful. Listen. In 1912, the world was amazed at the RMS Titanic. She was the most spectacular boat afloat of the oceans, handsomely appointed and decorated with all the best that the world had to offer. People believed that it had the potential to return years of faithful service to those that would seek to ride upon it and make mountains of money to the owners. And yet, because of error, some small and some large, she became a shipwreck and took many lives with her. What will be said about your life? What will be said about you when your casket is brought to the front and a preacher must stand and begin to speak about your life? Will it be said in 2 Timothy 4 and 7 that you fought a good fight and finished the course and kept the faith? Or will it be said in sadness that they departed the faith of truth and error, and they departed from truth and left, and so subtle, and then it became so big in their life? Or will your life, as today many people visit the site of the Titanic and dive deep into the depths of the ocean with cameras and men and study it, will your life serve as a memorial to those who have veered off course only to be a wreck on the jagged rocks and reefs of sin? You might laugh at this, but the fact of the matter is, listen, there's an iceberg out there with your name on it. And if you are unprepared when you arrive at its location, you'll sink like a rock. Some people say, "Preacher, you just don't know what will happen to us from day to day." And you're right. But regardless of what comes your way in life, regardless of tragedies and temptations, listen, you can safely navigate the seas of life and land safely in the pristine harbor of glory if only you'll stay the course and stay with the captain of the ship. If you're here today and you said, "I've made a shipwreck of it. I have a runoff course. I am upon the sand. I am upon the rocks. Whatever will I do?" And maybe you need to repent. Maybe you should come quickly and without delay and repent and draw back. Listen to me. You said, "I'm not walking like I could walk." Why not? Get in this thing with us and help us. I've veered. Listen, you may say, "I've went too far." No, that's a lie of the enemy. You've not went too far that the grace of God can't reach you. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans 5 said that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And maybe you are here and you have never become a Christian. When I ask you, why would you wait? I mean, why would you put it off another second? In a mixed group like this, I don't usually go through all of that, but I'll certainly tell you this morning, you need to hear the gospel. Jesus died for you. He gave His life for ransom that you might be redeemed from the penalty of sin and rose again victorious on the third day. And in doing that, we have hope of eternal life. He died. That's the gospel. Believe it. And believing it, repent of your sins this morning and be immersed in water. They turned the lights on earlier. I got excited. I thought we was fishing right here before service. I said, "Praise the Lord, we're fishing to start this off right." Then they shut them back off. Hey, all things are ready. Not only here physically are we ready right now to receive you, but let me say this, heaven and eternity and glory. The Son of God, the sacrifice has been made. The Word of God's been given. The preaching's been done. All is said, and now it's yours. What will you do? I want to encourage you this morning to step out on faith. Don't let the enemy tell you again, "Do it another day." You put all things aside and focus on Him and come. We'll meet you where you're at and we'll help you any way we can. You come this morning if we can help you, as together we stand and as we sing.